Tonight's Daily to Nightly Live Show Late with Brian. Tonight's guest, Ben from the Happy Cast. Regis Philbin from that episode of How I Met Your Mother. And special musical guest, Theodore from the Chipmunks. And now, here's your host, Brian.
Hey, good night. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming out. Oh, wow. What an honor. I can't believe so many people have came out for the inaugural episode of our new talk show. It's a spinoff. It's the first ever talk show. A lot of people don't know this. First talk show that's actually a spinoff of a podcast. A lot of talk shows have podcasts, but we're the first podcast with a talk show. Not a joke, really. More a statement of fact. It got real quiet in here real fast. We still haven't really hired any writers to do any joke writing, which should have been our first priority now that I think about it. I don't know why we thought we could do a talk show without writers, but we have...
Actually, Conan did a talk show without writers.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's my sidekick, my very own Ed McMahon, Terrifying Bearface. Thank you. Thank you for the correction.
Hey, yo.
Conan did do some episodes of a show without writers, and they're very interesting. But I am clearly no Conan O'Brien. I'm not a tenth of the talk show host he is.
Actually, you're about one half because your name is Brian.
Okay, yeah, all right. Thank you. Corrections department, everybody. Terrifying Bearface. Hey, man, they love you.
Actually, booing usually means the opposite.
Oh, you're right. I was just trying to make you feel better, man.
I don't.
Okay, well, let's get the show on the road. Let's bring out our first guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you know our next guest as a legendary contributor to the great Lost Unlocked podcast. He also co-hosts his own show with me, which seems like a conflict of interest, but, you know, we don't hold ourselves to very high standards here.
Actually, a lot of talk show hosts have their friends on the show. Just look at Jon Stewart.
Yeah, that's true. But actually, they don't usually come on the show to promote something that the talk show host was co-creating.
Rosewater?
Who did he bring on for Rosewater? I don't remember that one.
I'm pretty sure he had Jason Jones and the guy who was interrogated on his show one time.
Okay, yet again, I stand corrected. Apologies, everyone. But... Let's really...
Can I get back behind this curtain yet?
No, hold on, Ben. I'm not done introducing you yet. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Benka. Hey, all right. Well, hey, man, you look great tonight. Is that a Batman t-shirt?
It is, and it's Batman pajama pants. I dressed up today for the show.
Well, thank you. We're honored that you would dress up for the occasion.
You are welcome. So, why am I here?
How did we get here? We raised a lot of money in a kickathon to get Chris Pratt on the show, and we paid the money to who we thought was Chris Pratt, but really, it was the Wootinator Pratt fishing us. He then felt
and
so
that was
bad
a good
that he,
joke.
That Pratt fishing joke, classic. And, sorry. And then he, being overly self-complimentary is not a very great
you're very subtle.
Trait. Not a great trait for people to have. It's a dumb joke. But then the Wootinator felt so bad that he gave the money back to us, and that you invested that money in getting a talk show so we could try to get Chris Pratt on the show. And that is how we wound up here.
Oh, shouldn't Chris Pratt be the other guest then?
We reached out to his people, and we... requested him to be here, but it turns out he's actually out of town filming Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 right now, so he was not able to be reached. At least that's what his agent told me.
Maybe on next week's talk show.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see if we do this again. So anyway, you host a podcast with this cat, Brian. What's that like?
Oh, yeah. It goes pretty okay. We talk about things that make us happy, bum us out, and everything in between. It's pretty good. Terrifying Bearface there has been on it before.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard him appear occasionally.
Actually, I have.
You're not even disagreeing with us at this point. You're just confirming what Ben just said.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh, so it sounds like a lot of fun. You guys have you've done a lot of episodes this year. Probably doubled your episode count over the past 6 months.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate. It's been a lot of hard work.
Yep. Going with the quantity over quality approach to podcasting.
It's been working well, too.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I hear you actually brought a clip.
Oh, yeah. I'll play that right now. Or
okay, would you like to... Yeah, no, go ahead, set it up. What are we about to hear?
It's just a little clip. It's me, Ben, and you, Brian, and we are talking about X-Men movies.
Okay, wow, very good. Please enjoy this clip from the Happy Cast. Everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Cast with Ben and Brian. Brand new, unless you're listening to it in the future, in which case,
old.
The world is gone. The world as you know it's gone, and this is a relic of a time forgotten.
Or could this be like next week?
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I guess so. That sounds a little more apocalyptic and doomy.
Oh, sorry, that was not my intention. Anyway, I am your co-host, Brian, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host, Benjamin.
Hi, I am that fellow co-host, and that is my name, and this is Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, I'm Brian.
Well, yeah, you are, yeah. Brian, and I am
Ben.
Oh,
sorry, you're pointing at me. Yes. Hey, so how you doing, Ben?
Doing okay. I just broke my headset.
Uh-oh, that doesn't sound good. Should we take a break for technical difficulties?
Nah, it's already pretty broken. I can still use it. I just stabbed myself in the head with it accidentally.
Okay, wow. All right. Well, be careful. Oh. I wouldn't want you to get blood on your equipment.
There goes the other ear, broke off.
So you have no ears now.
I have zero ears. It's good enough time to move on to happy hour.
All right, then let's do it. It's happy hour again. Happy hour is the segment in the show in which Ben and I will take turns sharing with you, the listener, the thing that is making us most happy for the week. Ben, have you fixed your ears? Are you good now?
My ears are mostly fixed. A little bit bleeding, but mostly okay.
And that's Ben's happy hour. His ears are good as slightly used.
Oh, well, slightly, like, you know, 20-something years of use on these ears.
So those ears have some miles on them. Have you thought about, like, upgrading to, like, a bionicle ear?
Well, there aren't that many miles, because I don't normally travel by ear.
Okay.
My ears do travel through the air, but at least they aren't physically rubbing across the ground.
But you never really go anywhere without your ears. You don't. It's not like your keys. You never like walk out of your apartment like, shoot, my ears.
I have. It's happened before.
Wow. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't want to bring up a touchy subject. We can move on if you'd like.
That's really private. Well, my happy hour this week is, I can't remember what it's called right now. Maybe I'll figure it out. I call it goat candy.
Okay.
I
think that's called
goats.
Hay.
No, it's not candy like, made of goats or candy for goats.
Okay.
Neither of those. It's also like cow candy. I don't remember which one it's supposed to be. It's like this caramel thing with like some cream in the middle.
I have always known those to be cowtails.
Oh yes, there's that one. Yeah, cow. That's one of the reasons I call it cow candy. Cowtails. Yeah, that's the long ones. But then they're little circle ones. Also.
Okay. I didn't know about those.
They're like a bigger cowtail slice kind of thing.
I didn't know. Are cowtails still around? I feel like I haven't seen one in 20 years.
I haven't seen them in a long time, but I found the little tiny caramel cream things before at Walmart. And I've been so happy. I know why I call it goat candy. I just found it. G-O-E-T-Z-E apostrophe S. It's like goatzy. Don't Google goatzy. But it's like goatzy or something. I don't know how to spell it. I just call it goat candy or cow candy. G-O-E-T-Z-E. That's how you look up goat candy.
Okay. All right. Z-E.
Z-E. G-O-E-T also. It's not like goat. It's like goet.
Okay. Goet-Z. Goet-Z candy.
Goet-Z candy.
It's just like a cowtail that somebody cut into smaller pieces?
Yes, except it's like thick and big. They also make the cowtails. They make all of them. But they have like the little individual ones and the long cowtails, which I don't see anywhere. But like a few weeks ago, I rediscovered them in the store after missing them for so many years. And I just now read on their page that they have different flavors. Vanilla, chocolate, or original chocolate, strawberry, apple, and licorice. And cowtails have vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, and apple. I've never seen those other flavors anywhere ever in my life.
Yeah, same here. I only knew about the original, the OG cowtail.
The OG? I guess it's vanilla then. But I love them, and now I kind of want some.
So the ones that you purchased, are they fresh? Are you eating 20-year-old candy?
I hope I'm not. They seemed pretty fresh. But, of course, the caramel was chewy like normal, so, I mean, I assume it's fresh. I mean, it was pretty chewy.
Okay, yeah, so as long as it doesn't, like, just, like, shatter in your mouth like rock candy.
Oh, yeah, it didn't do that. Well, because I gave one to my sister to try, and then after about, like, 2 minutes, she realized that she did not like caramel, and she should have remembered that before she ate it.
Yeah, that's important. You should probably, like, wear a bracelet or something to remember that.
Yeah, I mean, I asked her if she wanted one. She seemed pretty okay with it. I don't know. But they're really good, and so I want to buy some right now.
Yeah, sounds good. If I could find them around me, I would like to take that trip down memory road.
I will probably bring 4 or 5 baskets full on the trip in October.
Even when I did find them in a store, I feel like I've never seen them in the context of like a modern store. It was always one of these like old country bodegas.
Oh, that didn't sound fun.
You go in, and it's not even a gas station. It's like a corner store, and there's always like an old man wearing suspenders and a straw hat, and they sell like moon pies, and they have a big jar of pickled eggs.
I've never been to one of those places.
Is that a thing everywhere? Is that a universal experience?
I've never met a pickled egg man before.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, pickled egg man is really my favorite Sonic the Hedgehog villain.
I was going to say a pickled Robotnik.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the new one. I liked it better when it was Robotnik, and I don't want to get the Eggman change.
Are you sure that your nearest grocery store doesn't have them?
I'm not 100% sure, but I have never personally seen them.
Okay, because I'm on their locations thing, and I put in Georgia, and it has your closest one that I know of on the list.
Huh, well.
That's if you want the caramel creams. If you want cowtails, they're at different places.
Oh, I'm with the cowtails. Oh. That's the thing I have nostalgia for.
Okay, Sam's Club, Jet Foods, Golden Pantry. I don't know what some of these even are. Flash
made up.
Dollar Tree? Bed Bath Beyond.
All right. I thought they sold, like, makeup or something.
I thought they sold, like, bedding
shampoo?
And bathing.
Okay. Like it must be in the Beyond department, then.
Yeah, that does make sense. I forgot there is that third one.
Yeah, so that's, like, a catch-all. Like, Bed Bath and Beyond, they can just sell whatever the heck they want to.
Yeah, and Aiden Minute Mart. That's terribly spelled. MINIT. That's not how you spell minute. Come on, Georgia.
Yeah, you know, our spelling is not so good.
No, so good. Well, that's my happy hour. I'm really excited.
Okay. Cool. I might, I'm off work tomorrow. I might go on a quest to find a cowtail.
Yeah, check them cows.
My happy hour pick this week is a bit of news that broke earlier this month, so you may have already heard it. If so, I apologize, but I'm very excited. It puts my mind to ease. This is something I've worried about for years and years, and now I know things are going to be okay. the headline here on Hollywood Reporto. Hollywood Reporter says, Robert Zemeckis on Back to the Future remake. Quote, oh God, no.
Oh, okay. That's yes. pretty good. What about a reboot?
I don't know. Any new Back to the Future, hopefully, would not be good.
A sequel.
They're two of those. Have you not seen Back to the Future Part 2 and 3?
They could always do another sequel, Part 4.
Part 4.
Get all the same actors back.
Oh, this is just in the context of a remake, I guess.
Okay.
The director of the 1985 classic says he will stop all efforts to remake the film while he and writer Bob Gale are alive.
Oh, yeah, so the instant they die, though.
Yes, true. That's true. It's because their original contract says that they have control over the movie rights to Back to the Future, which is weird. That would never happen today.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened then.
You would sign that over immediately.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because they're working on a sequel. And they want to keep it on the down low.
Well, it says, here's the quote. He says, to me, I mean, it's outrageous, especially since it's a good movie. It's like saying, let's remake Citizen Kane. Who are we going to get to play Kane? What folly? What insanity is that? Why would anyone do that? So, I mean, you know, I love Back to the Future. It feels like a big step to compare some to Citizen Kane, which, you know, I agree. I like Back to the Future more than Citizen Kane. Write that down. That's a fact. But yeah, it seems like a weird thing to say. But he does say that, okay, there's a quote here that says, there will be no Back to the Future 4 without Michael J. Fox, who is largely retired from acting due to Parkinson's disease. So
oh, okay.
No Back to the Future 4 either.
What if he's in it just a little bit, but it's like Marty Jr. wants to time travel?
Oh, yeah, sure. Like Michael J. Fox played Marty Jr. as well.
Oh, well, it'd be Marty Jr. Jr.? Or just they'll actually just continue the Marty Jr. saga?
That would just be the third, I guess. Oh, but would that mean that Griff would be back?
I think it would be great if like they just didn't. And Marty's like, well, 2015 is nothing like what I thought it was going to be like. I must have really changed stuff. So it just takes place really, in 2015. And they go back in time to the 80s again? Or the 50s?
I don't know. I don't know how they would do it. And that's why they shouldn't. It should not be done. So I want everybody to donate to my new Kickstarter project to keep Robert Zemeckis alive forever.
Wow.
Yeah, let's make him a Highlander.
I think a lot of times the reboots is just so they make tons of money, but sometimes it's so is to help expose the audience that saw, or like a new audience to this, if they're unwilling to watch something older.
Well, if this isn't anyone's unwilling, if anyone's unwilling to watch Back to the Future, good riddance.
I don't think
to the Future.
Yeah, I don't think Back to the Future is old enough yet where it shouldn't be inaccessible to people who want to watch it now.
I mean, it is 30 years old. It's getting there.
It didn't seem super old, though, if you go back and watch it. Like, watch Citizen Kane, that could do with a remake.
What? No. Why would you remake Citizen Kane? What are you talking about?
Why wouldn't you remake Citizen Kane?
I mean, it's widely considered to be kind of a perfect film. I don't know why you'd need to remake it. I mean, the people that would want to see Citizen Kane are completely capable of watching Citizen Kane. It's accessible to whoever wants to see it.
All right, well, why they're remaking Flash Gordon?
I mean, it's a different thing. It's a comic book franchise primarily. It's like a big franchise thing, but I mean, an independent idea that's isolated. Like Citizen Kane is its own thing. I assume it might be based on like a short story. Who knows? I'm not a Citizen Kane historian.
Why not? What if they remade Click? Is it time for that yet?
Yeah, like the time is now. Let's get a new Click out.
Yeah, I didn't hate that movie.
You know what? I kind of like Click as well.
I was surprised that I was kind of okay with Click.
Sure, yeah.
Christopher Walken was in it.
He was. He worked in the Beyond department of Bed Bath &
yeah,
Beyond.
Yeah, I remember that. Also, where they sell goat tails.
Sure, of course. Yeah, Christopher Walken sold magical remotes and goat tails.
Or cow tails, sorry. I keep calling them goat.
Although I will chalk that up to my blind spot for any like time travel fiction.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Well, I think it's that, and I always like the idea of being able to use a remote to control stuff.
So you're a big fan of like television remotes?
Yeah.
Or...
Well, like grabbing one and be like, haha, I can mute you, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, conceptually, I liked it, but there were plenty of things that I didn't care for, but overall, I did enjoy my time watching Click in the movie theater.
So that's our happy hour together is Click.
Click. Go check it out. All-time Netflix pick, now and forever.
Is it on Netflix? What about Hitch?
Hitch. You know, I saw Hitch, and I don't remember any of it, so.
That's me, too. Is Kevin James in it?
Yeah, he plays, like, the nerdy loser who cool Will Smith has to, like, teach how to be a real ladies' man.
Wasn't that first part what he plays in everything?
So I guess I remember the basic premise of Hitch. Like,
Kevin James is nerdy loser who is this.
No. I don't know. Maybe that's true.
Paul Blart?
I didn't see Paul Blart. That could be about anything. That could be, like a period piece. Maybe it takes place in the 60s.
I bet it isn't. Anyway.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll pick it up on the other side. Are you ready to play America's new favorite game show?
Yes.
America has not... This is a pilot, so I'm assuming that this is going to really take off and become like a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire type sensation.
Oh, I bet it will.
All right, Ben, you're the first contestant on Bell or Bail. It's an exciting new game where I'm going to read a IMDb credit, and you tell me if it stars or features either Christian Bale or Kristen Bell.
Wait, which one's which?
Kristen Bell is the actress who played Veronica Mars.
Okay.
And then you have Christian Bale, who was the Batman.
I think you're still saying the same name, though.
No. It's Christian Bale and Christabel Bell.
Okay, all right, Vegetable Ball. Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
So
I'll say male or female.
Okay, that works. And I have 7 here, and we'll see how many you get right. Either you will be the bale of the ball, or as worthless as a bale of hay.
Okay, all right. I'm ready.
Okay. First IMDb credit is Deadwood, Bale or Bale?
Lady Bale.
That is correct.
Yes.
Next up is Newsies.
Man Bale.
Male Bale, correct. The Secret Agent.
Oh, that sounds so vague. Bale.
Mail Bale?
No, that's like ELLE at the end to make it a feminine Bale.
Oh, okay. So Lady Bale.
Yeah.
Bell. No, incorrect. Oh. It was Mail Bale. Hit and Run.
Female Bale.
Correct. Little Women.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to guess the women one because I don't think she was little. Man Bale.
Yes.
Ooh, yes, I'm good at this.
The Shield.
Oh, that was that show with the bald guy. Didn't he show his butt or something? Or was it NYPD Blue?
I think that's NYPD Blue. You're thinking about, like, Dennis Franz.
Okay, well, I think there's still a bald guy in The Shield. He plays The Shield.
Yeah, Michael Chiklets, the heir to the Chiklets fortune.
I want to go with Man Bale.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Female Bale.
Oh, this is so hard.
And the last credit is Velvet Goldmine.
That's not a real thing.
It is. Velvet Goldmine.
Gentleman Bale.
Yes, that is correct. So, pretty good. You got 5 out of 7 correct.
Oh, wow. That's my best score so far in one of these games.
It's true.
What do I win?
Congratulations. You win the people's respect and admiration for the next week.
I don't want to be on this show.
Okay, so that concludes the first and only episode of Bell or Bale. Time for Bumper Patrol. That's the part of the show where we talk about what's making us feel a little blue. Ben, why are you looking so blue, sir?
I'm blue because I'm not breathing.
Listen up. Here's a story about a little Ben who lives in a blue world.
Oh, don't even start that song.
All day and all night, everything he sees is blue, just like him, so on and so forth.
No, that's not why.
Isn't that, I think Iron Man 3 opens with that song.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest music choice I've seen in a film. Like, it makes sense because it's like a period scene. It takes place in like 1999.
Yeah, but no one was
something blue. Of course.
That'd be good if you had a blue superhero or villain around. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, yeah, like a Gamora.
Yeah. Wait, no, I meant because the bad guys were blue.
Oh, the Romulans.
I don't remember, or something.
The like Ronin.
Kree. They're Kree.
The Kree. I thought the Kree were like people that look sunburnt.
Oh, I just Googled, they're blue. I remember because there's like a couple Kree references or episodes on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so Kree. Anyway, my Bummer Patrol has to do with someone blue, sort of, barely. I would my notes exactly say, I don't know, X-Men? Because I couldn't think of one.
You just don't like X-Men.
Well, maybe. I'm not, like, anti-mutant, like the movies talk about.
One of those intolerant, mutant-hating people.
No, like, I hate mutants and you hate robots? No.
Well, okay, I stand by that. I'm very openly against robots.
Yeah, that is true, even though, I mean, robots are people too.
No, they're not. By definition, they're not.
What about cyborgs? You draw the line at cyborgs or robots?
You get into like a gray area there, and I'm not.
Well, can cyborgs vote?
I mean, sure. Let's think about it. Like, maybe if somebody has a pacemaker, then they should be able to vote.
What about RoboCop? But
no, RoboCop clearly should not vote.
He still has his own mind and brain.
It depends on what RoboCop canon you're talking about.
Well, I think even in the remake one, I think they were just saying that, but they were wrong.
No, they switched him off. He was all machine without thought, right?
Well, yeah, they shut off his brain, sort of. But his brain is still his brain, and he's still in there.
It would make it too easy for politicians to buy votes. I'm just saying, robots should not be able to vote.
What about the Terminator?
He definitely should not be able to vote.
He was a robot first who has humanness added on. Whereas RoboCop was human first that had robot added on.
In fact, a lot of humans
subtracted.
I might even draw the line at having a guy who played a robot become a governor. That might be a little too weird for me.
What? Well, just because he didn't play a robot, he played a cyborg. That's what Kyle Reese says in the first one. I was kind of on the line because even with organic skin, he's still all robot.
Yeah, he's like a robot covered with like human skin.
He's just wearing, which makes it creepier. He's just like wearing a disguise.
Exactly.
Also, C-3PO called himself a cyborg, but he's not. There's no human in there.
No, he's a robot. I mean, wait, is there? That might be the shocking twist at the end of episode 7.
Oh, it's like a beating heart. Is that how Anakin used to make him come to life?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, let's darken up that Star Wars backstory. That's what it needs.
Well, anyway, he's an android. I looked it up. Androids are humanoid robots.
Okay, yeah, human-cyborg relations.
Yes, but so that doesn't make sense, though, because he's not a cyborg. They are droids. Well, actually, they're not both droids. R2-D2 is not a droid. He's not shaped like any kind of human I've ever seen. He's shaped like a trash can. He's a robot. C-3PO is an android.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No one's a cyborg. Sorry.
Nobody's a cyborg. Okay, but we're not here to talk about my robophobia.
All right, so I've watched the first 4 X-Men movie by release date. So like X-2, and then
X-Men United.
X3, The Revenge or something. I don't remember what they're called.
That's X-Men United.
Oh, okay. And then I watched X-Men Origins Wolverine.
No, 3 is Last Stand, I'm sorry.
Maybe it's 2 United?
You saw, no, 2 is United, 3 is Last Stand.
Okay, yeah. 4 is X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh, that's not a good movie at all.
Those are the first 4 I watched, because I'm watching them in order. I have First Class next, which I've heard good things about, so I'm excited about seeing it.
I like First Class a lot. I also like the newest one, Days of Future Past.
I've heard that one's good, too.
Yes,
I'm also going to watch The Wolverine in the middle, because that's the watch order on here.
Okay. So far you're not enjoying your time with the X-Men.
They're okay, but I don't really care about any of them. I don't know if it's because... All right, see, with the Avengers, most of them had an individual movie first. And so I got to know them and care about them as characters, and then I got to see them all together. With X-Men, it's like, okay, so here are a bunch of superheroes. You probably care about them. They don't really have much of a personal plot line, aside from like one or two, and I didn't really understand what was going on there anyway. But you're still supposed to care when stuff happens to them. And I felt like they had too much at once. They didn't really seem to ever be in peril. I mean, I think there was supposed to be peril. But when you have someone who can make storms and get rid of them whenever she feels like it, doesn't really feel like there's that much peril. I mean, she could solve most problems just by bringing in, like, lightning and, like, a hurricane or something. I don't know why that never happens. Why didn't she just shock Magneto? I mean, he wearing, like, a suit of metal or whatever. I don't know. I like Magneto. I think he and Mystique have cool powers. This is the first movie. Sabretooth, oh, I'm like an animal. And Toad, I'm also like an animal, except I have a tongue that's long.
You know, not all mutants are cool. Some of them have flame powers.
Yeah, flame powers is kind of generic. I was okay with ice powers. That was a little bit cooler than flame powers. Well, Rogue, yeah, she's real interesting for all three movies she's in. Her power is to do nothing except complain all the time.
And touch people and they die.
Yeah, what a cool power. What a great character in these movies. And Wolverine is, I'm invincible and I can slash things. And he's the focus of every movie.
That's because he's the best.
I hate him so much. He does not, I'm invincible. Look at me do a flip and be invincible. Like, I can make knives come out of my hands, out of the weirdest spot for knives to come out of. Why don't they come out of his fingers? Why are they out of his knuckles?
I think they qualify as claws instead of knives. Well, it's not like he's like holding them between his fingers.
Yeah, but claws don't come out of your knuckles, any. They come out of like the fingers. Like cats. They come out of the paw. They don't come out of like the top of the paw. And they look plastic in some scenes, and it's really distracting. I just find him like the least interesting one because he's always just grumpy and his hair looks dumb.
He calls people bub.
And Cyclops, he hasn't been interesting at all. He's just mad a lot and wears dumb goggles. I know why he wears them, but he's shown in the past. He can wear sunglasses. That was in X-Men Origins Wolverine. When he's a child, he could wear sunglasses. Well, in X-Men the first one, he tries to disguise himself, and all he does is wear like a ball cap. But he has a dumb Star Trek visor on still.
Yeah, he's like cosplaying as Geordi LaForge. Like people do in everyday life.
No, that was... And Jean Grey, I guess, was kind of cool, but she's not cool unless she's Phoenix, and she's not even really Phoenix in any of the movies I've seen so far.
Who's Phoenix?
That's who she's supposed to be.
No, I don't know a lot about X-Men.
All I know is because of Lego Marvel. She's supposed to... I think in the third one, she's like Dark Phoenix or something. But that's a storyline I cared about. I want to see just regular Phoenix, where she can fly and also move stuff and be super powerful.
I heard bad things about the third one and never watched it.
I didn't like it that much. I didn't like any of them that much. The whole thing is just like kind of preachy to me, I think. But it just... But Mystique has like the coolest power. I like that. Magneto's pretty cool. Patrick Stewart's power is sitting and thinking a lot. I mean, part of that's not his fault. He is paralyzed. But...
Yeah, he's not sitting, Ben.
He is not being still sitting. But his power is just to think real hard.
Yeah, you think so good.
So Storm's cool, though. That's the one I like. Because she can do a cool power.
I think Magneto is the most interesting character.
He is. I like it's a villain that kind of has some ideas. Like, he wants something that kind of makes sense in some ways. So I was cool with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can understand their point of view in some ways.
The third one has Frasier in it as a blue monster man.
Yeah, Frasier's a blue monster man. I can't believe I never watched it.
He doesn't do anything cool. He's like Reads. A secretary of something for the government because the government's okay with mutants now, except they make a cure and I don't know. The whole thing's stupid. The second one was supposed to be the good one, but I didn't care about that one either. I did kind of like that they teamed up with the bad guys because of a different bad guy, but then they were still bad, so it didn't really matter.
Wait a minute.
The third one killed, like, almost everyone.
Yeah, I heard most people died.
Like, spoiler alert, they kill off, Cyclops, like, somewhere at the very start. And then they kill off Patrick Stewart. And then at the end, they kill off more of them. I think Jean Grey, she dies, I think. I don't know. Everyone just dies. It's stupid. And then X-Men Origins Wolverine was just dumb anyway.
Yeah, it's a kind of a mess of film.
TV from Lost was like a giant fat boxer. There was Gambit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that interesting, even though it sounds like from what I read that he could have been interesting. He throws cards at you.
He throws cards.
Through walls.
Yeah, you know who's playing Gambit in the new movie?
Yes, Tatum Channing.
Yeah. It's gonna be
Tatum Channing.
Sometimes I get Channing Tatum mixed up with I can't remember. So obviously, I'll get back to me.
So yeah, Gambit could have been interesting. It sounded like he just kind of shoved him in the story. Charlie from Lost could turn on light bulbs or something. But he gets killed really fast. So much of it was dumb. Oh yeah, one thing from 3, Kitty Pryde was kind of cool. She can run through walls, and like just phase through stuff. And she was played by Ellen Page. That was pretty cool. That was a fun power. What else was dumb? There's a guy that can multiply into a lot of people in 3, except he only used that power like once and never for fighting, just to distract someone.
So you have problems with the logistics of the X-Men universe.
Like, no one used their powers the way they could have to be the most effective. Like, there's this big battle at the end with like Magneto's people against a bunch of humans and like 6 X-Men. And like they had like waves and waves of the bad mutants kept like falling and getting cured because they had like cure bombs or something stupid like that. And then later on at the end, Magneto's like, oh yeah, I'll start throwing cars at them while Pyro puts them on fire. You could have opened with that and killed so many more people. Why wait till now to do it? Why not? I mean, he showed in the movie that he can move the Golden Gate Bridge over. He can just move it around in the water. Why can't he just pick up the bridge and throw it at the guys they want to kill and destroy the whole base they hate? Wouldn't that be a lot easier than having to just shoot waves of mutants at it?
Perhaps.
Oh my god. Yeah, and X-Men Origins Wolverine. Also, Deadpool didn't make any sense in X-Men Origins Wolverine. I know a little bit about Deadpool. I'm pretty sure he wasn't infused with other people's superpowers. I don't think he could teleport around. I'm pretty sure that wasn't a thing. I don't think he got Cyclops' laser vision at any point. I don't remember him being a mute because his mouth was sewed shut. But he is still played by Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah. They're doing a new Deadpool film, aren't they?
Except it's supposed to actually make sense, I think, compared to this Deadpool.
Hmm.
And it's weird that he's still going to play him, even though the origin story is going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a good choice for...
I like the trailer that I saw.
Yeah, it seems interesting.
But he was so bad in Wolverine. I mean, it didn't make sense. Not, it wasn't his fault, really. It didn't make sense. Hopefully the next one I watch, First Class, will be good.
Yeah, check back in. I'd like to hear your thoughts on First Class.
Most of the time, they feel like they just try to shove all these mutants in at once. Like, look, we got this guy this time. You only see him for, like, the scene, but we got him. He's here. Okay. I'll stop ranting because I watched all 4 and I was pretty disappointed about X-Men. Maybe I would care if I cared about the X-Men in advance, but they did nothing to make me care about the X-Men.
On its own.
What? See, and it's not just like a me problem because I didn't care about Iron Man or Ant-Man until I watched them. And I thought, wow, these people are pretty cool now.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't care about Wolverine or Cyclops.
You know, like as you were talking, do you think that mutants are a metaphor for like any oppressed group of people?
Yes.
Oh man, it's really subtle. I just picked up on that right now.
Wow. Yeah, it took me almost all 4 movies to figure that out, especially in the second movie where some parents are talking to their kid like, "Do you think you could just try not being a mutant?"
Yep.
And the third one about where they try to make a cure for mutants and like, "We don't want cure, but some do want cures."
Mm-hmm. My favorite heavy-handed mutant scene is actually in First Class. So look forward to that. You'll know it when you see it. But Stockard Channing. That's who I was thinking about. Sometimes I get Stockard Channing confused with Channing Tatum.
Who is Stockard Channing?
She was an actress on The West Wing.
How about Carol Channing?
Sure. That's another Channing. Famous Channings.
Or is it more that Stalker, Channing, and Tatum, none of those are names?
That could be a factor as well.
And Carol is a name. Oh, yeah, she's Mrs. President.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I'll take a break and start breathing.
Take a deep breath, Ben. Last week you just rail against John Williams, and now you hate mutants.
Terminator 1. I think RoboCop 1 is better than Terminator 1.
I haven't seen RoboCop, but I would like to. Is it on Netflix?
It is not. RoboCop 1 I thought was far more enjoyable. And I thought the story was actually just better than the first Terminator. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I accept you for your flaws.
You haven't seen RoboCop yet. I think it has like fun satire of all sorts. It has like this funness, but also a sad story, like tragic.
Sad sadness and fun funness.
Yes, I am a wordsmith.
I've no doubt that I would really enjoy RoboCop.
Don't watch 2 and 3.
I've also heard that.
2, you could watch. Do not watch 3.
I really liked your vines that you put up of RoboCop 3. That looked fun.
Oh, my God. RoboCop
3. But, yeah, I've heard nothing but glowing positive things from people I respect about how great RoboCop is.
It's really good.
It's really shocking. I've not seen it yet.
2 tried to do 1 again, but a little bit different, and it was less good. 3, like, recast almost everybody and couldn't get like, almost anybody back. And
it had
mostly about
no
the
budget.
Resistance or something. It was like it was dumb.
The budget of RoboCop 3 was like $42.
And the robot in 3 is like a human, or it looks like a human, instead of looking like a robot like the other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Extra dumb.
And then you got to watch out for those robots when they try to blend in and be like people.
No. RoboCop is a cyborg. The bad guy in 3 was just a robot. So are you a cybophobic or just a robophobic?
I'm only going to commit to the robots right now, but we'll see. You know, maybe I'll just, like, broaden it to just, like technophobia, which means I'm afraid of club music and techno.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Wolverine?
Yes.
Is that better than X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Not by much.
Oh, God. And I just saw on this list here, because Days of Future Past, then Apocalypse, I guess, next year. And then after that, Untitled, the Wolverine sequel. Yay, more Wolverine.
That's going to be his last Wolverine.
Good. Why can't they have just like a, hey, let's do X-Men Origins Storm or X-Men Origins Jean Grey?
I think that was the plan, but the Wolverine movie did so poorly that they canceled their plans.
They should have made it better then.
But if it helps, you can think of X-Men First Classes, Origins, Magneto, and Professor X.
Okay, I can do that then. You know, also, something that should have done in X-Men Origins, like, he's alive since the 1800s. It would have been kind of, when he fought in, like, every war, it would have been cool if he, at some point, saw Magneto as a child. Like, if they just showed that during World War II to be like, hey, look, there he is, cool little cameo. Nope. It just kind of skimmed through during the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
It's dumb. He's a lumberjack. I already have problems with people being lumberjacks in movies and TV shows.
Yeah, ever since that that one finale.
Finale of Lost.
Yeah, the finale of Lost, where they all met up in that church to become lumberjacks.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry. What's your Bone Patrol?
Okay, mine, it's not going to be anything even approaching your epic X-Men rant.
What's up with the stupid hair?
To be fair, the hair gets less stupid each film. Like they try to reel it in.
It's still like a stupid half pipe.
It was out of control in the first one.
And for someone who's not supposed to age, he sure does look a lot older in the movie where he's younger.
I mean, maybe that's because you watched them all back to back. But to me, I'm like, yeah, Hugh Jackman looks like he never ages. Great casting.
He'd look pretty similar, but he gets more and more ripped as time goes on. Even though that means he was more ripped before he was less ripped chronologically.
I'd never really paid much attention to how ripped Hugh Jackman was.
I've seen a thing that has like posted the orders and stuff and how it doesn't really make that a lot of sense. Anyway, all right. Okay.
Okay. Hey, here's my Bumper Patrol. You ever out for a drive and you get to a stop sign and you're trying to turn left. You're turning across traffic. And somebody stops, trying to be a good Samaritan. They wave you out like, hey, I'm letting you go. You can go in front of me.
Yeah.
That ever happened to you? I hate it. I don't like that. Just go about your business. Follow the rules of the road. You have the right of way. I'll wait until there's an appropriate opening, and I will go.
Yeah, well, what if, like, they were under the impression that you got there first? Like, go. Just go. You were here first.
But it's not like a four-way. It's... I mean, that could happen. Like, people could wave you, like, at a four-way stop if they got there first. Like, no, you go ahead. And it's like, well, that's not really how the laws work. But I'm thinking more, you're a stop sign. You're turning out into a road. Nobody else is a stop sign.
That's worse.
You're like, go ahead. Yeah, it's happened to me, and it's terrible. The worst, I usually just sit there and act like I don't see them until they go away.
I think we've done that before.
The worst is I was crossing the railroad tracks one day, trying to turn left onto this road.
You're trying to get onto the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks?
I was going to the right side of the tracks.
Okay. From the
It all depends
side.
On your perspective, yeah. I'm trying to turn left, and there's one other car on the road, just one other car coming toward me. I'm like, okay, well, after that car goes, it's nobody else. I'm free to go. Inexplicably, the car stops and tries to wave me out in front of him. I'm like, go ahead, go. And I'm shaking my head like, no, what are you doing? No, I'm not. You just continue about your business and I'll go afterwards. And they were insistent. So I finally just put my car in park, turned the ignition off, and just like folded my arms and just sat there until they went.
Just give them a thumbs down.
Yeah. And they, you know, after an awkward few seconds, they ended up going, but just follow the rules of the road. How difficult is it?
Yeah, I think we try to avoid that problem sometimes. Like, there's a four-way stop near where we live. There are actually, I think, several, but there's one main one we always hit, and almost always someone else gets there at the same time as us. So to avoid this, we just turn right. Like,
yeah, sure.
We're just going to turn right. We're not going to bother trying to go straight or turn left. We're going to get out of your way and just turn right. You're on your own. We're at the same time. We don't want to wait. So that works.
Yeah, no, that sounds like...
Even if we don't want to go right, we'll go right.
I've done similar things, so I understand exactly where you're coming from.
And this isn't really a bumper patrol, but sometimes I see people trying to turn left out of the few different gas stations in town. The place where they're turning left is like, if they turn left, there'll be a right next to a stoplight on a busy road. There's no way you're ever going to turn left unless it's like 1 a.m. Just don't even bother trying to turn left. Just go right and turn around somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, trying to cross all the lanes they'd have to right next to a place where everyone has to stop. Not going to happen.
Yep. Traffic is the worst.
Yeah. Let's see how we can do traffic again next week.
Are we doubling down on traffic?
No, we just do it like every few weeks.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
some kind of traffic thing.
Yeah, complaining on traffic can be a recurring thing. Not that it should, but it could be.
It probably will be.
Traffic is going to be the new hot weather.
Oh, God, hot weather. I cannot wait until it gets colder and I can start making my happy hour coldness again.
Yes, me too. I hope that when you get down here in October, it's going to have cooled down, because there's some years where just the Atlanta summer just hangs on until November, and it's miserable.
Oh, wow. So, it was pretty good last year.
Yeah, that was a pretty comfortable October.
Yeah, it was, it was like it felt good outside, then nighttime came, and you regretted not bringing a jacket.
Yeah, which I prefer.
Jacket weather? Or being too cold?
Yeah, jacket weather.
Yeah, jacket weather. Nice.
Also being too cold is fine. I could deal with being too cold.
Too cold is a lot easier than being too hot.
Absolutely. Well-worn territory. So that concludes my Bummer Patrol. So let's move on to the next segment.
Netflix pick.
Let's all go to the
Netflix.
Let's all go to the
Netflix.
Let's all go to the
Netflix
to get ourselves a treat.
All right, time for Netflix picks. We're going to make some recommendations of video that you should stream from the Netflix instant service.
Yeah, not Hulu or Amazon, because I don't have a bumper for adding Amazon in here.
That's true. So this is Netflix specific.
Or Crackle.
So Ben, would you like to go first? Or Crackle. Oh, can we talk about Crackle? My Crackle pick is Joe Dirt 2. No.
Was Crackle the one that had the Dead Rising movie?
Yes, it
was. That's my pick then for Crackle pick.
When you watched that on Crackle, was the video quality terrible for some reason?
No, it worked just fine for me.
Joe Dirt looked really bad. I mean,
I think that was the video Dirt. Quality.
No. I watched about 30 minutes of Joe Dirt 2.
Was it good?
It was free. No. It wasn't good, Ben. Why would you ask that?
Maybe it was good. I don't know. I'm going to watch it someday.
I must hear. Here's a little confession. Joe Dirt, the original, is the first film that I recall seeing in a theater. So
why? I thought I figured out that was a different movie.
I mean, I know that I went to see Operation Dumbo Drop with my dad at some point.
Okay.
And I remember being taken to see The Lion King, I think. But Joe Dirt, for some reason, I just vividly remember going to a theater to see Joe Dirt with a friend on my 13th birthday.
Oh.
Like, I'm going to movies without my parents to see Joe Dirt.
Ooh, I only saw it on Comedy Central.
No, so you didn't get all the good parts that were cut out of Comedy Central.
Oh, I didn't. I got to get the uncut director's cut then. So I can see what I'm missing.
I owned it on DVD and watched it with both commentary tracks. There's a director's commentary track and there was a David Spade commentary track.
Oh, why?
I don't know. It's not a great movie, but I have some amount of reverence for it for some reason. But anyway, Joe Dirt 2, it's not good. It's not good.
Bummer Patrol?
No, it's not even a Bummer Patrol.
All right, well, my Netflix
He goes
pick.
Back in time?
What?
He goes back in time?
Well, now I have to watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
My Netflix pick. Okay, it is a movie called Creep.
Oh, yeah, that's that Radiohead concert film.
I was actually just about to say, not that song from Radiohead.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Sorry to step on your toes there. Tip, please tell us
about
Creep.
I did it for Pratfall, so it's fair. We're even now. Creep is a movie on Netflix. It's called a horror comedy. I would not say it was very much comedy. Not that it wasn't funny type thing, but I don't think it should be classified as a comedy. Or horror. It was more like suspense thriller, but it was found footage. Now, found footage might make you not want to watch it, but there is zero supernatural in this, and there are only two actors in the movie. There's a... What happened? All right, so there's a man guy, who wants to hire a cinematographer, that's not the right word. Wants to hire a different guy over Craigslist to film some of his life for him because the guy has a brain tumor, isn't going to live past 2 or 3 months, and he wants to film a little video for his unborn child. So he's talking, look back at it. But as it goes, it gets difficult to tell if the man is being just like a little bit weird or if he's just like, haha, gotcha, like, I'm just kidding kind of thing. He's kind of like Rob Lowe on The Office. Not in The Office, on Parks and Rec.
Okay.
That kind of person. Except it gets a little bit weird and a little bit creepy. And that movie was the most uncomfortable I've ever felt during any movie, but not in the like, oh, I'm watching 50 Shades of Grey type of uncomfortable. But like in the, I'm really unnerved.
Did you watch 50 Shades of Grey?
No, but I'm assuming that I would feel really uncomfortable while watching it.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm uncomfortable thinking about watching it.
I remember being uncomfortable seeing the trailer before another film.
Oh, yeah. I would too. I can see that. Well, yeah. This is the most unnerved I felt during any movie. And it's not even that scary. It's just really, I don't know. It's hard to
explain.
It's
very off,
creepy.
It's off-putting.
It's very off-putting and creepy, like the name suggests.
Okay.
I highly recommend it. It was very good. And everyone watch it.
So check it out if you want to watch something that makes you feel weird.
Well, that's a little bit what horror movies are for.
I've never been a big horror guy. I like horror comedy, but
it calls it
say
horror
this
comedy.
Is not that.
Well, all right, there are some funny moments, but it's not horror comedy like Tucker and Dale versus Evil or Shaun of the Dead.
Or what about like a Cabin in the Woods?
Oh yeah, it's maybe a little bit of that. There is some funny stuff, But
I really like
Cabin in
the Woods.
I wouldn't agree with horror or comedy, really, here. I'd just say it's like thriller with some comedy elements, like most thrillers have anyway.
Okay, so you think it's misclassified altogether?
Yeah, well, like Sinister, there was like very little humor in that movie. That was pretty much all like horror.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, I feel like most good films should have one or two moments of levity.
Yeah.
At some point, there should be a joke. Unless you're The Dark Knight, in which case nobody ever cracks a smile.
The Joker.
I don't count that as a smile. There's something else going on there.
Well, I think he smiles while
there's something more sinister.
Smile. Well, also, this is not on Netflix, but I will highly recommend Insidious 1 and 2.
It's highly unorthodox, Ben. I don't know if the courts will allow this.
I just don't want to forget it before next week. Insidious 1 is like a mix of Poltergeist and maybe like Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit. I don't know. Really good. I thought from the box or the cover art, it was going to be like a little bit of The Omen. It's not like The Omen. It's more like Poltergeist plus like Nightmare on Elm Street. It was very good and surprising. And then the sequel is a little bit like a little bit of Poltergeist, a little bit of Paranormal Activity, and a little bit of The Shining.
Oh, hey, I like The Shining.
It was really good. You cannot watch two without seeing one, but you should watch both because they were both surprisingly good. I was not expecting it.
And didn't the third one just recently get a theatrical release?
Yeah, I'm disappointed because it's not anywhere nearby and it's not on DVD, and I really want to see the third one.
It'll probably be out before October.
Third one's supposed to be sort of a prequel, but I really like the universe in those movies. And I don't want to spoil too much because like both movies have like a genre shift halfway through. Or maybe
oh,
two-thirds
I like
the way
that.
Through. Yeah, there's a really cool genre shift stuff. But yeah, you should watch The Insidiae.
How big of a genre shift are we talking about? Are we talking Robert Rodriguez movie that there's a TV show now? I don't know why I'm blanking on the name. From Dusk Till Dawn. Are we talking like a From Dusk Till Dawn level of shift?
Well, it's close. Well, maybe it's not like full genre, but within the horror genre shift.
Okay.
Like that one is like Poltergeist and then shifts to Shining, or one's like Poltergeist shifts to Nightmare on Elm Street type stuff.
Because the turn halfway through From Dusk Till Dawn is one of my favorite things in any film.
Yeah, that's when I think these get really good. And I was actually pretty creeped out a few times in these movies too. I would recommend these.
Okay, cool. I like a good genre bender.
Yeah. And creep. Yeah. Netflix, really kind of creepy, unnerving. Good. It's good though.
All
and,
right.
Like, not many horror movies like Stay With Me, but that one still does.
Okay, all right. So that's high praise.
Yes.
I shall add it to my queue, sir.
What is? Oh, too bad Insidious 1 isn't on Netflix. 2 is.
Oh, okay, I'll watch that.
But what, no, you cannot watch 2 next.
Or, I'm sure I can figure it
out. No. 2 is like a direct, like, continuing right where 1 left off sequel.
Oh, cool. Kind of like The Raid 2.
Yes?
You can take my word for
kinda,
it. Yeah,
kind of like Halloween 2 also.
Okay, I never saw Halloween 2.
Halloween 2 picks up like right after Halloween 1 ends. Like she's in the hospital from Halloween 1, like that night, and then 2 continues. Okay. But yeah, you have to watch 1 anyway because it kind of sets up the world.
Surely there has to be like a list of films like that, sequels that take place immediately after the original.
Oh, yeah. I don't. One of the Saw movies might. Actually, none of them do that, I think, that I can think of. I'm trying to think of something. I don't know.
I think Rocky 2 might.
Like right after his fight.
I think Rocky 2. Yeah. He's like beaten and swollen from the fight, I think. Aww. That's how I remember watching it on TBS.
Maybe TBS just skipped ahead.
You know, I've only ever seen those films on TBS now that I think about it. That's the only way I've ever watched Rocky. For some reason, back in the 90s, like, every third Saturday, TBS would just be like, they're showing every Rocky movie in a row. I'm like, okay, that's my day.
Like Spike TV. All right, James Bond day. It's a holiday. Here's James Bond movies.
We need to fill the schedule, I guess.
Oh,
I'm sorry, schedule, since it's James Bond.
I want to talk about the other movie that's like James Bond, but I don't want to do another movie right now. It was really good, though.
Yeah, I know. It is. The movie you're talking about is pretty good.
Find out next week.
Oh, cliffhanger.
All right, what is your pick of net?
Okay, my Netflix pick is it's a great film that doesn't need me to champion it. It is considered a classic by many.
Back to the Future.
So Back to the Future. Actually, it's not on Netflix, tragically. So everybody should just buy the Blu-ray. So any Blu-ray collection is not complete without the Back to the Future trilogy, in my humble opinion.
Okay, all right. I can agree with that.
You own it, right?
I do, yes.
It's like one of the two Blu-rays you own?
Yeah, I own... What is the other one I own? I know I own something else. I don't know what it is.
It's the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes, that's it. The Xbox One does Blu-ray now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I use mine for that all the time.
Okay, cool. Because I don't think I had that before I got the two Blu-rays. And so it was always like harder because I had to get the PS3 all hooked up. But now I can just watch those whenever now. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very convenient. Anyway, my film was released in 1969. It is the Robert Redford, Paul Newman classic, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
I've heard of it. Don't know anything about it.
So it's a lot of fun. Usually, I'm not the biggest Western fan, although in recent years, in my older age, I'm becoming better able to appreciate the genre in ways that I couldn't when I was a younger man for some reason.
What is that new way?
I don't know. I guess it's, you know what it is? It's the technophobia. I'm like, yeah, look at these cowboys. They don't have cell phones, and they're okay.
So you're just getting full hipster, old man hipster.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess, unfortunately. But no, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid is an incredible film. It won 4 Oscars upon its release. Robert Redford and Paul Newman just deliver pitch-perfect, beautiful performances. I have nothing negative to say about them.
What's with you hyping Pitch Perfect 2 again?
Pitch Perfect 2 is the best movie. The Bellas sing a song to the president or something. These are things that I was able to glean from the trailer.
Every week you bring up Pitch Perfect.
It is. But yeah, just great, great performances. Good chemistry between the two of them. And viewers should keep a sharp eye out for a young Sam Elliott in the first scene playing card player number 2.
Ooh, is he like, is he just not good at playing cards? Is that why he's number 2?
No, he's just the second card player. Although he is losing to Sundance, so I guess he's not a very good card player.
Well, is he not good enough to be card player number 1?
I think it's in the order in which they spoke, but this is before Sam Elliott was Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott was just some kid.
He wasn't Sam Elliott yet.
He wasn't Sam Elliott. His name was Burt Macklin. He was a FBI agent, right? Is that
nobody knew who he was until he grew the mustache.
Nobody cared who I was before I grew this mustache.
That's it.
That'd be great. I want a Sam Elliott style backstory now.
Oh, I think I'm gonna say Photoshop challenge Sam Elliott as Bane or Bane as Sam Elliott.
Sure, or that. I would also gladly accept that.
Either one, Photoshop challenge.
Nobody cared who I was before I grew this mustache.
Did he have the mustache in the scene?
No.
Exactly. See?
A young, mustacheless Sam Elliott.
That, I was right then. I didn't even know that.
But anyway, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, beautifully shot, gorgeous film. Really, really great. I can't say enough positive things about this, although it's kind of beloved by many, so it doesn't need me to champion it. So I will say, by the time you guys are listening to this, The Guest should be on US Netflix, so check out The Guest.
Yeah. Also, Creep.
Yep, and Creep as well.
And Sundance.
And Frasier, for some reason. Watch Frasier.
Insidious, not Season 2. Insidious Chapter 2, if you've seen the first one. Well, the weirdest thing about Insidious Chapter 3 is it's called Chapter 3, but it's a prequel.
So it should be Chapter 0.
Yeah.
Or Insidious Prologue.
That would work. And they also have a really, really short, like, 3-part web series that just tells, like, a little side story.
Those are big now. Webisodes.
Did I say it before? I guess I didn't. That it is directed by James Wan, however you say it.
Oh, the guy that directed Furious 7.
Yes. Also, The Conjuring, Dead Silence, the first Saw movie. And written by Lee Whannell, who wrote The Conjuring and wrote Saw and wrote this movie and a bunch of other stuff.
And wrote Furious 7.
He did not write Furious 7.
Oh, okay.
No, it seems like it's part of his contract to be in any movie that he writes, because he is. He's Insidious.
Okay, well. I like to think that Furious 7 didn't have a script, that they just showed up to the set and that beautiful stuff happened. That highly choreographed...
the stunts.
Stunts. They just occurred that
way. Like, let's get all these cars and see what we can do today.
Let's throw a bunch of cars out of a plane and see what happens.
Like, yeah, they did that.
They did
that. Literally what they did to get the shots.
It's incredible.
The actors
things
were
they
not
did,
in it, but they, that would be
the
terrifying.
Things they did to film those pieces of cinema history, let's call them.
Cinemystery.
Man, I would go to like a Cinnabon ripoff shop called Cinemystery.
That's also like a mystery dinner type
like a
show.
Mystery theater. Yeah, exactly. It's like Cinnabon. It's a Cinnabon where you serve a mystery as you eat your cinnamon roll.
Let's start that. Let's make that.
Sure, yeah. Okay. Let's make that our next business venture.
Cinemystery. Well, wait, now am I spelling cinnamon like cinema or like cinnamon?
Like cinnamon, I would say.
Okay, all right. So cinnamon mystery, but it's also cinema history. So should I have both of them as Cinemystery, Cinemystery?
Yeah, I mean, like one side is Cinemystery. It's like a dinner theater murder mystery thing where you eat Cinnabons. And then there's Cinemystery, which is like a museum for the history of cinema. And they're actually side by side. Like, do you ever see like those Taco Bells that are also a Pizza Hut?
Okay, I wish we had one of those. Or
it's kind of like
AFC.
That.
I want one of those. Okay, all right, I understand now. Is there a third one?
A third Cinemystery?
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Our top men are working on it around the clock, though.
That's us.
Oh, we're our own top men?
Yes.
We need to get better top men, then.
We're the bottom men? We're also the top, though, at the same time, though, because we're the same people. There are only two of us.
That's true. There are only two of us. There, I cannot disagree with that.
All right. Well, that's the show.
Wait! We're not even done with Netflix picks. We have a special breaking Netflix pick.
What?
Yes, sent in from listener Guitarchitect.
I remember that name.
You should. You should. He is a longtime listener and supporter of the show.
Yeah. The guitar.
So he writes... yes. So he writes in to say, I come to you with remarkable news.
Ooh.
I have found the best, funniest 30-minute sitcom ever. Any guesses, Ben?
The Office.
Frasier. 30 Rock.
Ooh, 30 Rock.
Arrested Development?
That's pretty good.
No, but he says it is a Netflix original series called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. I need to finish that show.
The story of a young woman who has been held captive in an underground cult bunker in the Midwest for 15 years and emerges to find a whole new world, especially when she moves to New York City. Much like Arrested Development, the show is often self-reflective and is a commentary on our culture in side-splitting slapstickness.
Oh, yeah. I need to watch that.
Key the Pappy, Guitarchitect. Yeah. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Great. Very funny show. I agree, Guitarchitect. I can't believe we haven't brought that up yet.
I know.
On the show. I know Woot wanted to do it as his Netflix pick one week if we did that, but we changed the plans on him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not a big binge watch guy, but I did watch most of those just in a row consecutively. And then I wept, for there were no more Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidts to watch.
Season 2?
Yeah, it's renewed for season 2.
Ah, there we go.
Well, 8 more months, and we'll see that. And not to spoil anything, and in fact, it's been spoiled for Ben already, but I will say that John Hamm has a hilarious recurring role on that show. Mm. So fans of John Hamm doing comedy, check that out.
Check it out.
Yes. So that is it for Netflix picks. Let's take a short break and then move on to feedback.
Hi, I'm Chevy Chase, and I'm really looking forward to having my own late-night show on Fox. Sure, I've been mostly making movies the past few years, but doing television is like riding a bicycle. Once you learn how, you never forget. So tune in this fall. I think you'll be quite impressed.
The Chevy Chase Show, coming this fall to Fox.
Sound. mail's here.
Mail time.
Oh, great. Thanks.
What's this? A letter for me.
Welcome to Listener Feedback. If you'd like to contact the show, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is happycastfeedback@gmail.com, or you can call us. We have a voicemail line. That number is 77-HAPPY-NUN. That is 77-HAPPY-NUN. Like us on Facebook, would you kindly? Follow us on the Twitter, perhaps, at HappyCast. We're also on Instagram. We have a website, happycast.website. If you'd like to help the show out, please tell a friend and leave an iTunes review. That concludes contact info.
MySpace.
Check us out on MySpace. We're also on LinkedIn. We're trying to build a resume. The podcast is looking for jobs.
Yeah, Steve Jobs. Well, he's dead. Never mind. I can't say that anymore.
Yep. Is that something you said a lot before?
I don't know, but I can't anymore. So now I'm kind of sad.
Fair enough. So we actually have some feedback today. I will read our first email. It comes to us from Tang.
Tang.
And Tang says, "Greetings. I have a good job opportunity for you, and I feel you would be a perfect fit for the position. Regards, Tang."
That must have been through a LinkedIn profile.
Exactly. Wow, it works fast. We just set it up earlier today, so I'm shocked that we're getting responses already.
Let's respond to that and see what comes of it. Maybe we'll get that movie deal that we're working on.
Tang. Is this email sent to us from that orange drink the astronauts consume?
Are we teaming up with NASA?
Oh, man, yeah. I think NASA, you know, they could really use the good PR that would come from from teaming up with this podcast.
Well,
yeah,
podcast in space. Are we the first one, or did someone already do that?
I'm sure someone has to have done that. Richard Branson, perhaps?
I don't know.
Does he have a podcast?
I don't know. Why would he? He's too busy flying planes.
Well, because everybody has podcasts today. It's 2015.
They've done a podcast from space.
Cool. Who did it? NASA?
Steve Robinson. Well, I think he's with NASA.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a little
podcast. I thought it was just a private citizen.
Oh, some guy that flew up to space like Felix Baumgartner. Well, maybe we'll do the first one from the moon.
Sure, absolutely. Right next to the statue of Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just erect that while we're there. I'm not sure if they've actually made it up there yet. We'll have to do
okay. Yeah, we can bring it with us. That wouldn't be a problem.
All right.
Tang. I'm trying to figure out who Tang is. It's all capital letters, like it's an acronym. It's an acronym because you actually read it as Tang.
Initialism is if you read out the letters like FBI.
Exactly, yeah. I didn't know that for a long time, but...
Me neither, but usually I still call them both acronyms, because initialism is a stupid word.
I'm a fan of initialism, but I respect your opinion on the matter.
It's too long.
Do we have any more feedback, Ben?
Yeah, actually. We have one from Kiyu.
Hey, Kiyu!
Kiyu is back. She says, "Hello, B&B. Brian, you should definitely read A Series of Unfortunate Events. I think you would enjoy the dark humor and subtle pop culture references."
Yeah, listeners of the show know two things I love. It's dark humor and subtlety. So
subtlety?
Yeah. Big fan of subtlety.
Absolutely. She continues, "On another note, QAnon sounds like a presidential ticket. Not that I'm suggesting anything. Uh-oh. Watch out, New Today and FizzBiz."
A third candidate enters the race. In fact, this might be the event that causes the New Today and FizzBiz to team up and run together.
Uh-oh. A challenger is approaching. Quan.
Quan. Yeah, Quan.
2020.
Oh, right, 2020. That's right.
Yeah.
So we have a few years to figure this out.
Has anyone else picked a running mate yet?
Nobody's announced anything officially. I think FizzBiz is courting Lil Bub to be running mate.
Oh, yeah, forgot. FizzBub. And you today, we'll ask her in the future. Q continues more. "My happy hour this week is the band U2. Us? Us two?
Us two?
Us two. U2. I recently went to one of their concerts, and it was fantastic. I'm not usually a big fan of concerts because, in my experience, it sounds almost exactly like the albums do, but with long waits, screaming fans, and uncomfortable seats. However, this concert was more of an experience. I loved hearing the little mistakes, the occasional forgotten lyric, the context behind the songs, as well as hearing in person the politically charged speeches that U2 is known for. As I've been a huge fan of theirs for the past 10 years, seeing them in person was also pretty spectacular, though I didn't think I would end up caring about that aspect. Yeah, my main concert I've been to is Weird Al. Really?
Same here, same here. I saw Conan, he played music.
Oh,
but,
yeah. Well,
that was pretty
music?
Cool.
I guess he did.
Yeah, he played guitar. He played Seven Nation Army.
I remember that guy.
Also on the road again. No, TV show or something. U2, yeah, absolutely. I'm not a big concert guy either. In fact, I'm not like a U2 super fan, but if someone walked up to me and was like, hey, man, I got tickets to the U2 show, I would have to accept. They're iconic, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Well, I'd be like if someone said, oh, I have tickets to the Beatles. You're like, but two of them are dead. Not anymore. I would
we
go.
Revived half of the Beatles.
The wrong half. They revived Pete Best. Is he still around?
I don't know.
I want to hear what the remaining two plus Pete Best would do. But he probably kind of holds a grudge, I bet. She says also, my Bumper Patrol, is the other aspect of the concert that I did not like very much. That is, the other people. I agree.
Yep, other people are terrible. I concur.
I generally don't like crowds, and this was no exception. Like Ben at the Weird Al concert, I got beer poured over me near the beginning of the show. Plus, the people around us were so drunk that they kept hitting into us as they were dancing in the tiny space of their seat. Since everyone in front of us was standing up the entire time, we also had to stay standing if we wanted to see anything, which was pretty tiring.
That's terrible. Everyone at the Weird Al show politely seated the entire time.
No one dances. People sing along occasionally. No dancing. They did sit up sometimes. I'm like, oh, now I have to get up and look. But then people usually sit down, except like a couple guys in the front who aren't paying attention and don't realize that everyone else has sat down except them.
That's true. They can't follow the crowd. They're setting the pace, man. Yeah, you follow them.
I always like get worried and look behind me to make sure I'm not blocking anybody. I'm like, oh, there are too many people in front of me and I want to see, but everyone behind me is still sitting down. I guess I'll stand up. Overall, I'm really happy I went. Contain all the happies. Q. And now there's a P.S.
Oh, a postscript.
Yeah.
Sorry, a little tang-tungle there.
Regarding the fake Series of Unfortunate Events trailer, I've heard rumors that it is actually authentic. Calling it fake plays right into the series themes. For example, Daniel Handler has consistently denied that he is Lemony Snicket. Given the high quality of its production, the Easter eggs, and the fact that Netflix only said this was not released from Netflix, I think it was actually legitimate. What else would keep us talking about the trailer besides the announcement that it isn't real? Either way, I'm excited to see what else pops up as we get closer to the release date, whenever that is.
Oh, the plot thickens. If it's a fake trailer, that is the most exciting promotional thing I've ever seen anyone do.
Okay, I heard that rumor too, and it does sound believable, but then I'm worried that I just really want this to be true that badly. That I'm wrong.
Yeah, I want to believe that it's true, but
I'm gonna
molder
it.
I'm gonna molder. I'm moldering the situation.
I'm gonna make that a new thing.
Yeah, moldering. It's a verb. It's in the Webster's Oxford.
What's it mean in the Webster's Oxford dictionary?
It means wanting to believe something really badly.
So badly that you ignore evidence to the contrary type thing?
Yeah, exactly. Just like Mulder, because you know, all that stuff that he wanted to believe in, there was no evidence. He was just a crazy man, right?
Yeah, that's what I tweeted about. That happened. What do you personally Mulder on?
What do I molder on? That's a good question. Get back to me. I need to do some serious self-reflection before I can open up about my moldering.
Everyone write in and tell us what you molder on.
The goodness of humanity. How about that?
Oh,
like
no,
I
don't woot this.
I really molder that every day.
Molder on my way. Anyway, that's all of those, I guess. Oh no, we have two tweets.
Oh, cool. Tweets. Thank you for the email, Q. I will seriously think about considering checking out those books.
You should. actually read them though, because they're good.
Now that Ben's telling me to do it, I don't know. Well, I don't like being told what to do by
it.
Ben.
Don't read it.
Hey man, you can't tell me what to do. I'm gonna read them all tonight.
They're as good as the Terminator is.
Oh, okay, that sounds pretty good then.
And Back to the Future combined, plus Sam
what?
Elliott.
Oh wait, I don't. Okay, all right.
She's also a part of it.
Emails, not emails. Tweets.
Tweets.
Tweets. Happy guest, tweet of the week. Ms. Fizzbiz tweets in to say, I can confirm Baskin-Robbins is real. I used to work at one. Also, ice cream cake is amazing. Get one. You won't be sad. Hashtag happy facts.
And listener Anne, the part of the ticket along with Q, says, we just barely got Baskin-Robbins here. It's so divine. Local ice cream is terrible.
I want to know more about the local ice cream scene.
Yeah. Write in and teach us about local ice cream.
Are there, like, do they have different flavors that are unconventional, or is it just poorly executed ice cream,
shrimp,
like standard ice cream?
Shrimp ice cream.
Yeah, Ben, we have to get you an ice cream cake, man. It just really, it bums me out every day.
We'll just do that on the trip, then. Part of the trip will just be Ben gets ice cream cake.
What kind of existence? That's your... Tragic backstory. That's like the episode of Lost where you find out what happened to Sawyer's parents.
Oh yeah,
it's exactly that.
It's
bad.
Exactly the same.
It's the same situation.
I don't think it is.
It feels like it to me.
Well, I want one. I always have. I just have been picking cookie cake because cookie cake is delicious.
Cookie cake is a large cookie.
Yeah, with a little bit of icing on it though. Sometimes not just the cookie. The icing, like, tops it off. And also, it has, like, a perfect ratio, unlike some regular cookies. I don't know.
Well, my sincerest apologies, sir. Anyway, thank you, everyone, who sent in listener feedback. That concludes this week's show. So, I want to thank you for listening. Invite you to come back next week. Until then, remember...
Day.
Keep happy.
Something.
Okay, so that was the clip you brought.
Yes, it was. How'd you like it?
It was, it was okay. It was all right. It's long, kind of long for a clip. Usually on these shows, people bring clips maybe 30 seconds or a minute tops. That was over an hour.
Oh, well, sorry. I figured we had to kind of pad it out because you didn't even have a monologue this week.
Okay, sure. And I appreciate the thought. But that concludes your time. Let's go ahead and bring out our next guest. Ladies and gentlemen, Regis Philbin.
It's not Regis, it's Slade. I sent Regis home. You do not have the authorization to do this. Oh, don't boo me. I own this podcast. Who is responsible for wasting all this money with this talk show?
Ben Whoa, bought the show. He bought the set and we thought together we should do this. Yeah, I hosted it. He bought it. It's a joint production between the two of us. We hadn't heard from you in a few weeks. We thought you were just trusting us to kind of go and do our own thing.
I was on vacation further mourning my son. You know, the one that was murdered when he was supposed to be a guest on your show. Now try to find some way to get rid of all this set and try to make at least some of the $250,000 back.
Thank you. Thank you.